aside, he obviously has no income coming in.
Is that all they asked when you went through that process through the state?
I think so.
It's just his?
Yeah, I think it's just his. So that's what, I mean, do you go by his income or our income?
Yeah, because, well, technically.
Because he's technically an adult.
Technically, it's supposed to be whoever is income earners in the household, but.
I mean, I don't want, you know, I'm fine paying the reduced fare or whatever, but, you know, did I don't even know what I applied for. Did I apply for reduced fare? Did I apply for the free?
What you did is you, when you went on to the Illinois Benefit of Aging, Department of Aging, you applied for the Benefits Access Program. So that allows folks to get these cards, free cards. It allows them to get like a driver, the license plate stickers at reduced rates.
So because, so how this started is because through school, he's in the transition program through District 214. They've taken the bus everywhere and I'm like, wait, you know, he should be, have some reduced fare.
And he's 16?
He's 19.
Okay, okay, yeah, then once, if they approve him, then go ahead and apply for it.
So that's the reduced fare also, not just the free card?
Reduced fare, you just apply, yeah. They're gonna have, with reduced fare, they're gonna have you have a doctor's note stating the disability.
Okay. So it's two different application processes?
Pretty much, yeah.
Okay.
It's the same application, but they're two different. Yeah, this one is a little more, yeah.
So that's what I applied for?
It's a little more involved. There's two steps. You go to the Illinois Department of Aging and qualify for benefits access and then apply for the reduced fare. This one you just apply, this one you just applied for the reduced fare.
And is there any way to expedite that or is that a normal timeframe?
Okay, we're talking the state. These ones, this part's pretty quick. That's us. But the benefits access, you know, sometimes they move fast and sometimes they don't. It'll take a couple months. So if that's something you're interested in and your child's at least 16, go ahead and start that process.
But it's household income, not his income.
Technically, yeah.
No, and that's fine.
But if they didn't ask, that's why I wondered, because I haven't applied for that myself, so I didn't, I've never gone and actually come on that. But if they didn't.
I don't.
You didn't care for them, but if they didn't ask.
I think if they asked if he had, I'm trying to think if they even asked about his income. And then, but they, like, they needed his, he applied for a disability state ID card, which you can only get if you have, if you receive SSI. So we did that and so then it's like I had to send a copy of that in.
Yeah, okay.
So, which is fine, but I'm just, I'm not even sure I applied for the, like.
Do you know the answer to that? Is it a, it's, she applied for this with him and his income. But they never asked about the household income.
If you apply through him receiving social security, they're going to assume that it's going to be just his income that he's living off of. Now, sometimes when it takes that long, they're double checking and triple checking things, so they might come back and ask you, like, wait a minute, you're 19, you're living at this address, how does that work?
Yeah.
And then they'll be like, wait, now we have to take into consideration the parent income. But like she said, if they haven't asked,
well, I mean,
he should be able to, but I'm not going to guarantee that he will because sometimes they do go back and say, wait a minute, we need more information because some things aren't bad.
Okay, and that's fine. I just don't want to, I mean, we don't need the free program. I don't want to.
Yeah, and you can always, in the meanwhile, apply for this.
I want to do something that's a different.
Yeah, and then when you get this one, they'll null this one, but. Yeah,
so that was,
one. In the
how
meanwhile,
do we apply for that one? The reduced fare?
You just go online. You just go, yeah.
He's so going to need to prove his disability either with a doctor's note or the qualifications that are
okay.
there. And then you can download the application online from our website. You can print it out and mail it in.
Or I've got some too.
Okay.
Keep one with you and send in a picture with his picture and a copy of his state ID.
And that's for which program?
The reduced
fare. I know, it's really confusing because there's a lot.
Yeah, I know.
So there's a lot of information.
Yeah, that's going to be the simple one. So if you need a doctor's note proving the disability, a state ID, and a picture and an application, you mail all that in, and then we can get your card to you in about 2 weeks, but you know, the mail process can be long. But if you want to do the ride free, that's the applying through the state of Illinois, proving the income of either the family or the child slash adult, we don't know how old they are. And then once they've been approved through the state, then there's a second process where you officially contact the RTA, and then we can fill out that application for the ride free card. Because once you've been approved through the state of Illinois about the income, we don't automatically send you out the card. The RTA doesn't, because we don't know. We don't have any communication with the state of Illinois. So that's why you have to let us know that you've been approved through the state.
And that our reduced fare card is for?
MetroPace and CTA.
Just the regular, not the
regular,
not the ride share or anything else?
Nope.
Just the regular fares.
Not for paratransit.
Hey, go ahead. So this training piece?
So the travel training?
Right, there's a very long wait time, so want to have ducks in a row awaiting that. So do we have to already have these IDs and rides?
You don't already have to have them, but the only thing you would end up paying for is the fares. So
okay.
If you're doing Metro, if you're doing PACE, if you're doing CTA, that person would have to have cash fares with them.
Okay.
Or a Ventra card.
Okay.
The full price Ventra card that you get from the vending machines.
Okay.
But no, you can. But if you have this ready to go, if you apply for it today, for instance, and you got the reduced fare,
then that training process would begin utilizing those materials.
Yeah, or they can just do it. You can pay full fare during the training process.
Okay.
And,
okay.
But it's always good to have the to pay less, right?
Sure.
Yeah, I always recommend at least signing up for the reduced fare card if you're interested in doing travel training. That card out to you in a couple of weeks.
And any idea of who it is that responds? Is it a
there are different trainers. They've got a number of different trainers, so
okay.
they will just, I don't know how they assign them, but they'll.
Yeah, because there's no address or anything. So it isn't based anything on
they'll
call.
Oh, so you're wondering who's going to call you?
Right. When it pops up on my phone.
It'll say RTA.
It will say RTA.
Or they will say that they'll identify themselves from RTA.
Okay, great.
Or travel training.
Travel training. Okay.
Okay, did you have a question?
Yes. For a person in a wheelchair, the driver of the vehicle doesn't do the tie downs?
Yes, they do.
They do
yes.
Tie downs.
Yep.
Okay, so you don't use the parent or caregiver wouldn't go into the bus and do the tie downs.
No, they won't
the
let you.
Does the
yeah, tie-downs. Yeah, that's a liability issue. So the driver's trained in how to do that. So they will be the ones to actually do that, the seatbelt, but the caregiver's there to provide any assistance other than that.
And that's on and off the bus.
Yes, they have to load them on with the ramp or the lift and unload them as well.
And do all the vehicles have wheelchair access?
Yes,
you have.
They're all accessible. Yeah.
Including the fixed drop buses. So all fixed drop buses as well as 88 paratransit vehicles are wheelchair accessible.
Metro trains all have at least one car that is accessible. Good question.
How do we, you had said that they can pay on their pass, you can pay through that?
The regular fare, the Ventra
or
car?
The reduced pass.
Yeah. So these end up, this is actually a Ventra card.
Oh, okay.
So you have, you can create an account and put your money, load your money through the account onto that
card. Okay.
Yeah. So you just load the money and it's on there and they just tap it as they get on the bus or off the bus.
And I'll be able to see
mm-hmm. everything, okay. Yeah. In fact, I believe you see the routes that people have taken. I've never really looked on my account, but yeah, you might be able to even see like where it's been used.
So that's the same card as
somebody else picks it up.
Is that the same card as their ID you're saying?
This is the
reduced fare card is also their Ventra card?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Or you can buy full fare just like you would at a CTA station, those little gray ones.
Yeah,
that's
I wasn't
a full
sure
fare
they were
Ventra.
Tied together,
but you can tie those accounts. You can merge them. If you already have a Ventra account and card on the little gray card, once they get these, you can merge the two accounts together.
Okay.
app that you can download as well, and they can download. So yes, as they're going, if they need to hold more money, you can tie a credit card to it and then they can download it.
But they need the physical card. It's not, they can't pay with their phone or use.
Only if you're on the Metro train, because the Metro, so if you take a Pace bus, if you go down and take a L train, there's going to be a tapping device. If you tap it, kind of like swiping, you're just tapping, and it'll deduct the fare from that. But Metro doesn't have that. So if they have a reduced fare card, they can get on the train, show the conductor the card, and then just pay the half fare in cash. Or if they have the Venture app on their smartphone, they can buy the app through the money that they have on their reduced fare account, and then the ticket will be on their phone and they can just show the conductor that way.
Yeah, that's why it's really good to have the travel training, because it's a lot of information to absorb. So once that trainer starts working with them on those routes and whatever mode of transportation they're taking, they help them through that process, so they know, am I using my card and how do I use that? How do I use it on different modes of transportation? So that's when that travel training comes in very handy.
Travel training for the caregivers.
Yeah. Yeah, it takes a little practice. It really does. I gotta tell you, when I was younger, I was a flight attendant, and I was out in Seattle, and I wanted to go to the market. Everybody sort of the market in Seattle.
Where Pike's Place.
Yeah, Pike's Place, where they throw the fish. And well, I wasn't about to like jump on. Somebody said, "Oh, there's a bus out there that goes." I'm like, "I don't know. I use a bus. I've never been on a bus. I'm from a small town. I'm like 21 years old, right?" yeah. So somebody went with me, and I'm like, "Okay, we'll go." So after that first time, I'm like, "Oh, okay. This is so." After that, I was the expert and could show all the other crew members that hadn't used it. So it really does. It helps you to have that confidence of using the system when somebody's kind of who is familiar with it is showing you.
To answer the question about transit history, so I went to my MetroCard app because I hadn't heard of that. Sure enough, I can see a list of dates, times, and how much I paid for a red and pink line.
Oh, okay.
On my MetroCard app on my phone.
Okay.
So it shows where I'm.
There you go. There you have it.
Going to the game or
if
you're going to
the bus. It's all right there. That's just don't tell the kids that. Okay.
I have a question about paratransit. You didn't really talk about it, and I see that it is in the packet, but maybe you could answer a question. Talk a little bit about subscription rides and what the process is to get on that.
Sure. So, some users of paratransit have regular ongoing trips with the same origin and destination. Say it might be an employment destination Monday through Friday where they're being picked up and dropped off at the same exact times. It makes sense for them to be on a subscription so they're getting, they don't have to call every day, right? That's an inconvenience, especially if we know that you're going to be using it for the same trips every day. It makes sense for us to try to get you on that subscription. If that's the case, if you're using, they're going to be using it, regularly for the same trips, you call. There's a number in the packet you can call to request a subscription trip. You may or may not get it right away because we only have a limited number of subscription trips that we can offer. There's only a certain number that the system can really accommodate at one time. So sometimes there is a waiting list before you can get on that. And other times there's not. It depends on what area you're in. It depends on what trip you're requesting. So it's as simple as calling and requesting the subscription for the trip that you want. And then they'll let you know whether or not they can accommodate it or whether or not you'll need to be on a wait list. And some waits are longer than others. Some are a couple weeks. Some are can be significantly longer. So it's all going to depend on what that trip is and what area it's in.
I think it used to be you had to be on a regular debt route for like a few months or a year before they would let you have it, but now it's just based on if there's availability.
Right. Yeah, you can call them and request it. And again, it should be a trip that you're going to be using regularly, an ongoing same time every day.
And then we have to apply. Go through that.
No, not for a subscription trip. So, you do have to be eligible.
Yeah. Okay, so, that's how you're.
Yeah. for, you know, before you call PACE and request any trips at 80 acre transit, you first have to be eligible for the service. So you do have to, apply for the process, go through the process that Linda covered before you can call PACE and start scheduling your trips on 80 acre.
Does the paratransit cross county lines, like from Cook to Lake?
It does. So that's a good question. We have, because we have such a large service area in northeastern Illinois, and we actually hire multiple contractors to cover certain areas. So, we try to keep it, like a contractor per county kind of split. Cook County has multiple contractors, especially in the city of Chicago. So that's, if you're going from one ADA service area to another, it might require a transfer between those. And those are scheduled transfers to take place at designated transfer locations in the region. Those transfer locations are listed in this packet. So the predetermined transfer locations, for example, at the Rosemont CTA station is a very heavily utilized 80 acre transit transfer location when coming from, for example, North Cook County to South Cook County, 80 service area. So that transfer could be required. And that's something you want to say when scheduling the trip. So if you're going, you give your origin and destination, the dispatch should recognize that it's going from one service area to another. So they should direct you onto the need to call the other contractor as well. Now those buses meet up at that designated time. They will not leave until that other bus is there. So it's not like they're dropping the client off and then leaving, and then the other bus is nowhere to be found. They are timed transfers, and they will wait if that other, the bus meeting them is late, they will wait until it gets there. So again, those transfer locations are listed in the packet, as well as the procedures for when you're scheduling your trip, what to tell the dispatcher regarding the need to go between service areas.
What are the six counties in this system?
Cook, Lake, McHenry, Will, DuPage, Kane.
Did you get them all?
That's, I don't know.
My son's going to be living in Kane, or actually Kendall, but near Kane.
Kendall is outside of our service area, so we will not go to Kendall. We do serve Kane County.
Kane.
We do have. Pockets of service in Kane County, so it might depend on where in Kane.
Sugar Grove?
I believe there's, off the top of my head, probably limited service up there, if any. If their home destination or origin is not within an ADA service area, it doesn't mean that they can't be eligible for the service and go to an ADA service area. So just keep that in mind as well. Obviously, that's not as convenient to get picked up as your own payroll, but it's still an option if it applies to get to and from an ADA.
Yeah.
Wait.
Sorry.
That's okay.
Who do we set up the dial a ride with? You said through the township?
Yes. So PACE does not directly manage or administer the local dial a ride programs. The local unit of government does. And those units of government, it's going to vary. I mean, it's up to them whether or not they are going to participate in the program. So they really decide, okay, we're going to provide this dial-a-ride for our constituents. They partner with us and they get resources from PACE for them to administer it. So basically, we give them like vehicles and have a funding partnership with those local governments, and then they administer their dial-a-ride program. So you want to call your municipality or your township and see what they offer, if anything. Not all of them do. So, and not all of them do it through PACE. Some townships don't partner with PACE on dial-a-rides. So they'll do it independently. They'll buy their own vehicles. But it's still a resource they need to be aware of. It's not a PACE resource, but Elk Grove Township, for example, they operate their own dial-a-ride program. It's great. It works out pretty well. But it's not PACE. It's not a PACE program. It's not PACE resources. So it's regardless of whether it's listed on our website, there might be something independently of PACE available, so call your municipality and your township and ask if there's anything available.
My son just started a job, paying job, at Lutheran Home in Arlington Heights. And I was told that, because I called the Office of Disabilities through Arlington Heights. I live in Arlington Heights. And they said the pace, the fixed bus route, you know, we were talking about this, the ADA paratransit. They said the farthest north they'll go is Euclid, which is, I think, about 3/4 of a mile south of Oakton. So you're like, okay, that's not going to help me any to get them there. But then we see the pace bus at Lutheran Home all the time. Right. So they're obviously going there. So do they ever, you know, go to like larger locations like that?
I guess I'll answer that with two different answers. Is one, you might see what looks like a PACE ADA paratransit vehicle somewhere within northeastern Illinois that's not by a fixed route, and you might ask what it's doing there. That might not necessarily be ADA paratransit. So that could be a number of other programs that PACE offers or is partnering with local governments, or because those governments are using our vehicles, or we partner sometimes with like nonprofits or employers directly for them to provide programs. So where it could just be a bus going to and from their garage, you know, the home base. So just because you see a vehicle doesn't mean it's necessarily operating service in that area. Now directly
been in the parking
right.
lot.
Right. So we do provide service to there. It's right near the border. And we do go into it. And I know that because I'm there every day dropping my kid off at daycare. And
great.
I see the bus there.
Is that the dial ride?
Now there is Wheeling Township dial ride operating in that area too, but I'm almost 100% confident that we provide ADA paratransit service to the Lutheran Home. So I'll give you my card and then we can talk about follow up about what will be available. Because that's an example of where it's so close to the border.
I know.
And you know, I think it's like it's right on the border, so it's one of those border areas where, well, did you go across the street or not? Well, yeah, if there's a need there, and ADA paratransit is serving that facility,
okay.
I'm pretty sure. So I'll confirm.
Because I've seen that the bus there quite a few times when I've driven in there.
Yes.
Okay.
And I believe I've asked that question too in the past and gotten the answer that we're going to be serving that facility.
Yeah, one more question.
Oh, I was just wondering, where are your mobility assessment centers located for the...
There's two in this, there's one on the north side of the city and one on the south side.
Oh, so they're in...
For people who live up in this area, pretty much they'll take them to the north side.
Okay. It's in the city of Chicago.
Yep, there's
okay.
only two.
Okay. Thank you.
Yeah.
Any more questions? Thank you, guys. I have an evaluation, if you guys don't mind taking a couple of seconds just to fill that out. It always helps us with our planning. If not, just a reminder, we've got Marcy Frawley, who's doing our Lunch and Learn next Tuesday over at Central Office to talk all about employment. If you've never heard Marcy speak, I highly encourage you guys to join us. She's an excellent speaker and presenter and highly motivational as well. The other thing I want to point out is I think some of you are registered for our supportive housing conversation, which originally was scheduled for Tuesday, February 13th. Our PERC press this week is going to notify you, but we had to make a deep change on that because of Lori Baker's travel schedule, and that's now going to be on January 30th, I believe, at the same time. So just pay attention to your PERC press this week. There's a new date for that supportive housing, and it's a couple weeks earlier. Other than that, I've got no more things to share. You're welcome to stay and mingle and hang out as long as you want. And we're all here for questions. Thank you guys for coming.
Thank you.
Thank you.